Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're talking shorter work weeks and longer leisure hours. We're discussing the four-day work schedule, video games being adapted into long-form series, and what else we'd like to see in the future. Let's get into it. Hello, Steven.
Hi.
How goes it?
It is going quite well.
Is good?
Yes, it's good.
Is blobby.
Is blobby, yes.
Is blobby. Wonderful.
Yes. It's good. It's actually pretty good, man. It's like almost where we are at. It's almost Friday, so I'm chilling. I'm having a good time with it, you know. Yeah, pretty good, actually. Feeling fine. Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I read a headline today that was, "Thank God it's Thursday." Companies that are trying out four-day work weeks.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I know. I've never been more excited for a happening in my life than the work week reduction movement in the United States.
Oh, dude, 5 days a week, 5 consecutive days a week of work is just too much. When do you have time for life, personal things, creative projects? When do you have time for it? On 2 days out of the week? That's it?
That's madness.
It's crazy.
The human animal is not made for that much work.
Yeah, you're like...
In the Middle Ages, we only worked 6 months a year.
Dude, it takes like a half day to a whole day to ramp down from the work week. And then you can enjoy like a half Saturday. And then by the time Sunday comes around, it's like you're almost back to work. It's just not enough time.
It isn't. Mm. We used to have 6 day work weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah, before the charmingly... unexpected combined efforts of Henry Ford and the Jewish Political Coalition brought us down to 5 days a week.
You know what? I'll take it.
Right?
So who is pushing to get us down to 4 days a week? Who's the big pusher on this?
I actually don't know if we have like a single person pushing. I know that Bernie Sanders released a proposal for the 32-hour work week this last week, but the movement predates that.
Gotcha.
If you're asking who the most passionate proponents of a reduced work week are...
It's me.
It's me. It's me.
Oh, it's you too?
It's you. It's us.
I was going to say it's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's fair. It is us, all of us. Anyone, if you work in any sort of 9-to-5 situation or a situation that requires you to work 40 hours a week, whatever timing those things take place in, I'm sure you are also a big fan of reducing that 40-hour work week to a 32-hour work week because you need more time than that. You need more time for your life.
It's true. And I actually identify as a reduced work week radical, and I'll tell you why. I'm not here for the 4 day work week. I'm here for the 3 day work week.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Okay.
Come with me on this journey. The last time we extended the weekend, the economy literally doubled. Okay. Yeah. That was why Henry Ford was so pro going from a 6 day work week to a 5 day work week because he said his employees needed time to buy his products. Recreation spending doubled. Consumer spending doubled. It was incredible. And just imagine what the American economy could do with 4 leisure days.
Dude, yes.
We would surpass our wildest 1950s economic supremacy dreams.
Like, assuming we were getting paid the same amount and pay was static from before at the 5 day work week versus the 4 day or 3 day work week. Yeah. Because most people aren't going to just take those extra days and be in a stasis bubble for 4 days and then go back to work. You know, they're going to go out. They're going to hang out. They're going to spend money. They're going to go on vacation.
Yeah.
They're going to go on vacation. Dude, you could go on a vacation every single weekend.
Imagine what hospitality take home would look like after that.
Yes.
Like the hospitality industry would be on fire.
Fire.
Airlines, the profitability unseen since the 60s.
Tourism.
Like, it would be so good for everyone involved.
All your tourism places would just be booming. Everyone would be happy.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. Like, let's get on it, guys. 3 day work week. Come with me into the future.
You know, it makes me think of, it's not quite there, but it makes me think of Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek book, which is, it's somewhat in the same spirit. It's like, all right, the government may not give you these 4-hour work weeks or like 3 day or 4 day work weeks. We might get a 4 day work week in our lifetime, which would be awesome. But you can make it yourself, you know, through a lot of effort and a lot of like proper positioning and getting really lucky. you can, there is a way to only have to work a small amount of hours a day. Yeah. Way less than 40 hours a week.
True. Entrepreneurship could also be your ticket to a reduced work week. It could instead be your ticket to constant work.
To an 80 to 100 hour work
yeah,
week.
It's, that's, yeah, that's the gamble.
Right?
That's the pleasure of owning one's own business.
Right? Because you could be a business person working a, you know, working maybe 5 to 10 hours a week. You're pulling in as much, if not more money. You got that stability. You're like, it's going well. Or you could be in a state of financial crisis and working 100 hours a week and trying to get venture capital and just desperately trying to stay afloat.
Yeah, it... It could be your path to complete freedom, or it could be ruinous.
It could. And you know what would make it easier for people to start businesses with less risk? 4-day work weeks.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. With an extra day, with 3 full days on the weekend, you've got time for yourself to decompress, to chill. You've got time to hang out with your friends and family, and you have an extra day. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to do a hobby? Are you going to do a passion project? Are you going to maybe start a business that is your passion project? Like, with that extra time, with like a whole, I mean, that's like a fifth of your week back. Mm-hmm. So with like an extra 5 to 6 days in the month, you could actually start a business at a much lower risk. You wouldn't have to leave your job to start it. And you could even run it in your spare time without having to like jeopardize your current job. And also without like running yourself into the ground, a 90 to 100 hour work week. So I'm a huge fan of this 4-day work week because it just means people can take more control over what they want to do with their life, whether it's a business, whether it's friends, family, whether it's travel. Either way, they're investing in themselves and the economy, and it's a good thing.
Worst case scenario, you just get more sleep.
Right? Oh my God.
Yeah.
More sleep.
Maybe it doesn't change your life in radical and ambitious ways. Maybe you're just happier.
You know,
what if that?
I think there are times when I'm way more tired than I ever realized, which again, the four-day work week would mean I would be less sleepy because I could sleep more.
Yeah, yeah. You could sleep in. You could sleep whole days.
Oh my gosh.
You could just put on the latest video game, recline in your favorite reclined position, and go at it for 9 to 12 hours.
My favorite reclined position, you know what that is?
What?
Reclining.
Reclining is, yeah, a good reclined
just
position.
Just laying back. Little pillow back there.
Lean back.
Place in Tears of the Kingdom. Oh man, I still haven't finished that game.
I know.
Still haven't finished it.
I still haven't 100%ed Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, do you think you're going to do it?
I think eventually I will.
I think you will. I believe in you.
Unfortunately, I think I will.
Unfortunately? No, fortunately for you, I want that experience for you.
The trouble is, it's just such a beautiful world. And that's why I keep coming back. That's why I keep coming back to all of my old video games. Like Bioshock, I keep coming back to because it's so beautiful. And
steampunk, underwater, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Borderlands, the world. I mean, it's a dystopian beauty, but there's so much to love about it.
Post-apocalyptic, cartoonish, mm-hmm, cel-shaded, very stylized. Love it.
And on a possibly related note, the Fallout series, ooh, is releasing this month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on the 14th of April.
The Prime Video.
Prime Video.
Prime Video Fallout series. That looks pretty good.
Yeah. As we've said before on this show, this media trend of turning popular video games into television series, I can't get enough of it. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Media-wise.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Like, even Twisted Metal. I didn't play the game Twisted Metal, but the Peacock series Twisted Metal was an incredible use of my time.
Yeah. With Anthony Mackie from Captain America and the angry cop from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, whose name I don't remember.
Likewise.
Yeah, but no, they were great in that. And, like, I played the Twisted Metal games a little bit when I was, like, super-duper young, so I don't remember the plots. I remember that Sweet Tooth is a thing.
Oh, yeah, and Sweet Tooth is there. Mm-hmm.
With the voice of Will Arnett.
Yes. And an absolute delight.
Yeah.
I feel like it really captured the absurdity of the Twisted Metal series.
You know, it does.
And that is something about video games that I've always liked. In my opinion, the good ones are a little absurd. So, like, The Sims, absurd. Borderlands, absurd. Bioshock has a sublime absurdity that's not strictly humorous, but is an indication of human ideas taken to 11.
Yeah.
And I love seeing that in media. It adds something.
I love an absurd piece of media.
The creativity of it.
right? There's a fan that reached out to me on Threads. I was like, hey, what shows are you interested in? What shows are you watching? And someone suggested the show Chicken Nugget to me, which I still haven't seen. But the trailer for it, it is just an absurd piece of media.
Like, oh, yeah. It's candy-colored.
Yeah, it's candy-colored. It's just very silly. And the premise is like, this guy's girlfriend or significant other gets turned into a
crush, I think. Oh, this I don't think there's a pre-existing relationship.
Oh, got it. There's this guy and this girl that he has a crush on, and like she gets turned into a chicken nugget, I guess.
Yeah, like, and it seems like he's caring for that chicken nugget.
Yeah.
Slash trying to save it.
It's not entirely clear from the trailer what the whole movie's about or show's about, but I love that absurd premise. I just love any absurd premise. Something that just completely defies what you would expect to see in a movie. I've never seen that premise before. I'm into it. Like, that's totally absurd.
No, this is what I like about video games. Because of the format, you're given the latitude to make strong choices in terms of creativity that you can't do in like narrative media. Mm-hmm. Because narrative media, at least in the Western world, requires the whole like beginning, middle, end, pseudo hero's journey, monomyth, hero with a thousand faces stuff. Yeah. There's a way that you do it. And because video games just have to be engaging, they can really do anything. Like Stray was about following a cat, going about its cat business in a dystopian landscape. Other video games have been explorations of psychological situations. Remind me of the name of that video game with the scary drunk mom.
The video game you're thinking of where you play as a baby and there's a scary drunk mom is called Among the Sleep.
Yeah, so that dramatizes the experience of having an alcoholic parent, which is amazing. Yeah. Like, that is a fantastic use of the medium. You also have the entire Assassin's Creed series where you just kind of plant into a photorealistic time period and go about your business, going on quests. But there's not a strong, no offense, Assassin's Creed, there's not a strong story. it's the ambient quality of photorealistic history that just really gives you so much pleasure. It's creative. I love it. And I love watching people from our generation translate these incredible works of video game formatting into long-form television. Because we tried a little bit in the late 90s, 2000s to adapt video games into short form. So that's 2 hours. And I mean, I'm not against Angelina Jolie's Lara Croft Tomb Raider. We got to see a young Daniel Craig before he became 007. And that's good for everybody.
Baby Craig.
But I defy you to suggest a more enjoyable experience than Lara Croft Tomb Raider the limited series. Like that would be fun times.
That would be really fun times. And the reason why both books and video games are hard to adapt into a movie is time constraints. A book takes 5 to 20 hours to read. A video game can take anywhere from 5 to 100 hours to play.
And 100% that thing.
To 100% the game. Like that, and that's even on the low end. Some Japanese RPGs, 100 hours, that's like you're halfway through.
Yeah.
They're like, you could get to level 1,000 and you are at level 200. So keep going, keep grinding. And so because of that, there's so much content and so many side quests and so many characters and so much rich depth that is just frankly going to be lost if you try to translate a 20 to 30 hour experience into a very small 2 hour package. And so you do need to actually do a video game service and a lot of book service. You need a series, at least a mini series, if not a series with like multiple seasons to get it right. I mean, Fallout is one of those games that has so much content in it.
So much.
I've literally only played Fallout New Vegas, but even that game itself, tons of lore, tons of gameplay, tons of experiences. And I know the entire Fallout universe is just dense with lore, with characters, with side experiences, with how the great apocalypse happens. And you need more than 2 hours to do that. And so I love that video games are getting another chance to do that. Like The Last of Us, fantastic series, translated again from a video game. I love that Fallout's going to get a chance to do it because it is a very, very rich world and it deserves more than 2 hours. Otherwise, you get kind of an abbreviated, that was fun, but you kind of have to like cut off a lot of corners, you know? And
yeah, enough corners that you lose, dare I say, the soul of the work.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The Rise of Limited series could not be more beneficial for non-television slash film media, non-visual media. Like, books get limited series. That's Station 11, for example. That's nice. Mildred Pierce, which we covered in an earlier episode. Phenomenal, by the way.
So good.
So good. Call your mother.
Call your mother. Mildred Pierce, a.k.a. Call your mother.
Yeah, yeah. She does so much for you. She's a nice lady. She loves you so much.
And even if she's not, she's still your mother. So
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? But yeah, like, dude, I love limited series. Like, mm-hmm. that is just, it's so good. There's so much to see there. I'm like,
I think there could be a really good Assassin's Creed series.
Oh, dude. Okay, so we had the Assassin's Creed movie, right? Which honestly, it looked like...
Like Michael Fassbender wanted to do an action movie. Please continue.
Yeah, it looked like Michael Fassbender wanted to do an action movie. And honestly, he looked like he had a blast. And I had a good time. I think Jeremy Irons was in it as well. I think.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was. Again, he'll say yes to anything. And he commits 100%.
He's a professional.
When he does it. Respect. You know, there's sort of a... There's a genuine love of the craft in Jeremy Irons. Like he will take the most simple thing that might be below most actors and say, no, I will take any part of this particular role or this particular piece, and I will do it as if it is an Oscar-winning piece of media. And like, I respect that. That is,
it's the egolessness. Like, yeah. It's the devotion to art. It's for me.
It's not about whether something is going to be good or win awards. It's about he has to do the best he could do in every circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, and it's inspiring. That. Really do. No, but like a limited series Assassin's Creed, I think could be really good. I think you would need multiple seasons to cover it because
you need to do a bunch of different timelines.
Oh yeah. And you're jumping back and forth between the present and the past, and it would get convoluted and confusing, but so fun.
Think about all the extra money to be made, Ubisoft.
Right. Get out of Ubisoft. We'd love to see that.
Yeah, you could have a film media segment of the business.
Dude, and if you get Jeremy Irons back again, he will commit again.
Yeah, he'll commit to everything.
Yeah.
There are no small parts for this man.
No.
And he is not a small actor.
Oh, another game that comes to mind as we're thinking about absurd and random games here. Coffee Talk. That's a really good game too. It's like you play the proprietor of a coffee shop that operates during midnight hours in Seattle. So Pacific Northwesterners, hey, it's set in your hometown, which is kind of cool. And like you have all kinds of random creatures come in and drink coffee late at night, like vampires in theory and werewolves. And
succubi,
elves, robots, aliens. Like they all come in and they tell you their troubles. So you're like a midnight bartender, but you're serving coffee exclusively.
Yeah, you're basically just a coffeeier.
Yeah, you're
inside a supernatural world, a supernatural Seattle.
A midnight barista / counselor.
Anytime you're talking to someone after 8 p.m., I feel like you start to adopt the mantle of the therapist. Yeah. Like there's something about the cover of darkness that makes people want to divulge their deepest stuff.
So you run this late night coffee shop and you're just making coffee. You're making coffee art. You're making like tea for them. You're trying to figure out their favorite drink and then give it to them. It's a very cozy game and it gives you a chance to just give little bits of pleasure to random strangers by giving them their favorite drink and just making their lives a little bit better. And you know what? It's not high pressure. You can always redo parts of it. And I'm a big fan of it.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so guys, Laura for President, 3-day work weeks and limited series adaptations of all your favorite video games.
Ooh,
vote for me.
I am so in. I know I said I'm not really super pro voting, but I would absolutely...
You're not pro vote. Please continue.
No, I'm kidding. What I mean is I could vote more, but this is one where I would absolutely not just vote, but I would like get on the train. I would be on like your like campaign.
Working at call centers.
I would go on the road.
Be mobilizing the population.
Like, guys, did you hear what I said? She said a 3-day work week and turning video games into more like limited series. Like, what else do you want?
Nothing. That's Laura's America.
I love it. Yeah. So if you need a campaign manager, you know where to find me.
Wonderful. Yeah. You, right here?
Yeah, right here. I'll be here.
Great.
I'll be here all week. I'll be here all day.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. Guys, thank you so much for spending your lunch break with us.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, we'll catch you again next lunch break. Bye, folks.
Bye.
This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.